Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com. Stop.
Everything you saw from New Jersey high school tape, it trends. Oh, it is just nasty. I got a player in mind. You probably have the same one. We'll chat. Is he wearing 17?
This is the Joe Gaither Show.
That's why the player's in my mind.
BamaCentral.com.
So that's what we'll do. I think I'll go Chris Lowe first, and then we'll do Dax's voicemail right before Katie, and let Katie kind of just go on that, and then start to do it with softball. All right, let's go. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama, how we doing today on this Thursday? Double checking all my buttons are pressed right. Yes, they look like they're pressed right today. Happy Thursday to you. Oh, it is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You are listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast platform. I had a friend yesterday say, Joe, I don't listen to any of those. I listen on my own podcast player. I was like, what is that? And he's got some app that just hosts a bunch of podcasts, and it is receiving our show as well. So I appreciate whatever platform you guys are listening, consuming to the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hanging out with you guys live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios just off of McFarland Boulevard. Let me click old Mason in here right there. Perfect, perfect, perfect. We are live off of McFarland Boulevard just past the Tiger Rock on the left. You guys can find us right here. Call Derek and his team, 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. What you need in trying times when things go wrong is someone that you can call, not an 800 number, someone that whose voice you know, someone who knows the area. You say, oh, I'm got a flat tire on this road, Hackberry. He knows exactly where you are and can get you taken care of. So you want a local agent, and that is Derek Daniel right here, State Farm, right here in Northport. You can call him at 205-758-3391. Give him a call today. Let him run your auto insurance. They'll run your auto insurance quote. You'll see, you'll find out, you'll get a lower rate, better coverage, and that might make you want to run homeowners, might make you want to run boat insurance, renter's insurance, life insurance, all that stuff. Bundle them all up. Derek Daniel will take care of you today. 205-758-3391. Call and see how much you can save today. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We hope we're going to have a lot of fun today. We are going to be joined by Katie Windham. It's Thursday. We'll be joined about 8:40 or so. I said, Katie, about 8:40 to 9:10. How about that? She goes, thumbs up. So we're going to have a lot of fun getting smarter today with Katie Windham. She's going to talk Alabama, Oklahoma, softball. She's really going to help us with A-Day. And that's really, we're going to spend really today and tomorrow all on Alabama football. So we accept it. We're looking forward to your phone calls, your voicemails at 205-462-7340, extension 800. And that's what we're going to do. We got a bunch of football topics. We'll delve into softball with Katie just a little bit, but we're going to keep it with the picks again today. That's kind of what I'm feeling, Mason. How about you? How are you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good this morning. You know, I went and got my hair cut yesterday.
You look good. Make sure you see Mason.
I feel a lot lighter now. I cut off a lot of hair.
What was the shower experience like?
That was a good one. It was a good one.
Insinuating that you don't shower, but when you lose like 6 pounds of hair.
A lot of hair.
If you're not watching on the YouTube machine, you can check out, you need to be, and you can check out Mason Woods' new haircut. Go find him on the Twitter machine at MAWoods_. Tell him how great he looks.
Yeah, so I was feeling good this morning. Then I woke up, you know, went to the gas station to get me a Red Bull. And for weeks now, there's been like a national shortage of Red Bulls, the flavored ones.
Get ready.
Because all that is in stores right now is sugar-free. I don't know why, but it's like, I have tried to look into it. It's like this other places across the country. You just can basically only get sugar-free of the flavored Red Bulls.
Now, yeah,
so I've just
ready.
Been throwing back my OG flavor. This morning I walk in there and they've got me one
purple
right there sitting there in front of me. New flavor, so good. I'm feeling really good this morning. You know, I'm in a good mood now.
I used to go crazy on the dragon fruits.
Oh, those were
green.
So good, yeah.
Oh.
Those, the I think it was called Arctic Berry. It was like 3 or 4 years ago they had it. Those were really good.
The dragon fruits gave some sort of some feeling on my tongue.
It tasted like electricity.
Yes, incredible. Yes. All right. Well, happy you got your Red Bull in here. Happy
good.
You got your hair cut. Looking good.
Yeah.
I'm sure Miss Melissa all happy with the haircut last night.
She liked it. She liked the hair. She's a big fan of the long hair, but it was
getting
a little unkempt at this point. It was had some dead ends and things like that. You know, I kind of just do the thing where I cut my hair like once every 2 or 3 years. That's basically what I do. And, you know, maybe I'll try to keep it up this time around. Who knows? But
oh, brother, you do you. As long as you and Melissa are happy with it, that's pretty much all that anybody can be dealing with. And she still got the long hair.
Yeah, for you.
You didn't take the buzzer to it. It's still got a little length to it.
No, I did that once. It was not full like shaved head, but it was not a great look for me. I didn't pull it off well.
Oh man, Mason. I mean, you didn't mean to do this, but you're triggering me a little bit. One of our spring practice traditions in high school was, in the spring practice, all the newbies, all the freshmen, all the sophomores, if it's your first year on your team.
Nah, we would have been fighting. We would have been fighting.
Well, it wasn't mandatory.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a, you're not cool if you don't do this, and we're going to make fun of you.
So be it. I'll go out there, and I will dust you in an Oklahoma drill, buddy.
So you think the team, I mean, what tradition, what spring practice, what spring tradition should this Alabama football team be?
Ice cream truck. It's got to be the ice cream
Dude,
truck.
I am
Come
so
on.
Down. I don't understand why. You can go to any comment section.
Here's what they need a live performance at practice. They need a rapper or something to come do a live show at practice. I bet the fans would love that.
Oh, Lord. You get, I don't know, name rap,
NBA
rapper
young
X.
Boy, that's what we need.
We got to find somebody,
somebody local?
Right,
no,
some offshoot brand who's like got one song. You know how they do it for fraternity houses. They've got all the.
You
got
to get the Ball brother that's got his hit now. That's what we need. Angelo Ball, Bama football.
What's the song? It's like not appropriate, is it? It's like about sex, I think.
I mean, most rap songs mention it.
But the title is like,
I think it's just called like Swerve or something.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, I thought the title was like,
I might be totally wrong.
I thought the title was like a woman's body part.
Oh, the song is called Tweaker. So
okay, well, I mean,
not that, but still not a great title.
Right. So I want to talk about spring football. That's what I want to talk about today, and I have like a billion different offshoots in my head right now. Well, really, about four. I want to talk about the video you sent me last night.
Oh.
I want to talk about Chris Lowe and his very small tweet storm. Sweet storm, couple raindrops of information. I want to talk about Andy Staples predicting the top 10 quarterbacks in college football this year. And really, we need to start nailing down. Today's the final scrimmage of spring practice. So the boys are scrimmaging in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to be going over there 10:45. Katie Windham, myself, and Hunter DeCipher will be in the Malmore Athletic Facility filming post scrimmage interviews. I'm sure we'll get 3 to 5 players, and that'll be great. And they'll all be veterans, and that'll be great. And I think, Mason, that might be our last media of spring practice. I was told. I'm going to give Yale Alabama a lot of props. Thank you, Yale Alabama. Thank you so much. Yale Alabama's autograph session after A-Day is what I was told is the reason, well, there will be no media after A-Day. Thank you. Thank you.
because there's I don't need to talk to anyone.
This is true.
Like well, we practiced hard today. We tried hard. Billy looks good.
Quarterbacks did a pretty good job, you know.
Thank you. And with that, sign up for Yay Alabama.
Yeah.
Go get your autograph from Keelan Russell, Austin Mack, and Ty Simpson. Do it all. That we were told.
Yeah, your bet there.
We didn't want to. We didn't want to take the coach and 4 to 5 most prominent players out of the autograph lines.
That's pretty fair.
Great. That is a way. I'm sorry, like we have talked a lot about Yay Alabama and the media kind of colliding a little bit. And sure, that may look like a little bit of a collide. We don't get our 25 minutes or whatever. That's fine. That is okay. A play. Great.
Yeah, I think this is. You know, one of the many steps we've seen in probably the last month or so that Yay Alabama has been taking in the right direction, where it just seems like they're really starting to level up kind of what they're offering fans and things, and this is just another example of it.
All right, so what do you want to start with first? You want to start with Latsia Brooks? You want to start with Chris Lowe, or do you want to start with Andy Staples?
I think let's start with Latsia Brooks.
Was it 2 weeks ago we played? Which freshman are you more excited about, Derek Meadows or Latsia Brooks? And I am looking like I'm on the wrong side of that discussion with my Derek Meadows side. Golly, I'm just going to get out of the way. And why don't you describe that the video you sent me?
Anybody remember one guy by the name of Jalen Waddle? Because that's what it looks like. Same number and everything. And look, you know, we have gone nuclear about overreacting to spring practice on this show. But this was a video posted by Latsia Brooks. Very obviously that he is filming it from the device that he uses to watch spring film on. He posted it to his TikTok. It got deleted. I mean, within like 2 hours, it was off of his page. Somebody reposted it.
Hey, buddy, get that down right now, is what they said. They said, what are you doing?
This is how I saw it last night. It came across my feed. Luckily, someone was, you know, captured it and did repost it. But it is live reps, you know, not full contact or anything, but one-on-one receiver DB been, you know, in shells, and he is absolutely cooking everyone he goes against.
7-11
like putting them on their back. Some of these clips, he is like breaking ankles. He is taking like souls out there on this football field.
7-11 365.
Golly,
always open.
Oh my, like he is going to, if he gets on the field, I think, you know, any amount, he's going to be a difference maker.
I don't think we're in the if anymore.
I don't think we are either.
Because you tie the video you saw with DeBoer's comments on Brooks. Hold on, because that day I did ask about them, and I will just read his comments, because they were pretty...
For anyone that watched...
Rosy. They're pretty kind. I'm going to pull it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, for anyone that watched his high school tape, like, it's... what you saw there, it is the same kind of incredible ability to get separation just at like a moment's notice. He takes two or three steps and he's already got 4 yards on the defensive back. It's crazy. Like, he is so, so smooth in and out of the routes that he was running in these clips. I talked about whatever it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago. We saw Isaiah Horton for the first time kind of moving in full speed, and it was like, whoa, this guy moves really well. This guy does. He loves your Brooks. He moves like water. Like he is so incredibly smooth with just everything. It is so fluid. There's no hitching or anything. There's no wasted movement whatsoever. He is going to be very special.
All right. This was Coach Oates. Coach Oates. This is Coach DeBoer's comments. This is Coach DeBoer's comments in the middle of May. So 2 weeks ago. Derek Meadows comments, great. All right, Latsia is really explosive. They've both got a lot to learn when it comes to feeling comfortable in the offense, and when that happens, then being quarterback friendly, being where you're supposed to be, especially on time. But Latsia's got some of those instincts. Sometimes it's hard to find guys. It's not hard to find him. And he can finish those plays. When a ball is in the air, he can get the little burst to get underneath it. Those ones that are just off the fingertips, it seems like he's finding a way to haul them in. Got the little extra juice and can make outside of the body type catches. So really like what we see early with those two guys. And then continues. I got one more quote. Can Brooks play the slot? I would say that's probably his starting position right there. Jalen Waddle. You think right now, right away, get the ball to him and let him do his thing. But he's really good down the field too. He has really good body control, can win on defenders down the field. But it's not just the first couple of yards and when he's got the ball in his hand. So he's been really impressive. That was 2 weeks ago from DeBoer, and the videos are matching up with those words.
Certainly,
my only critique with what you send me. Now I need to look at this again before I say this. Lots of all right. My only critique, and yes, as this 30 seconds continues, is that all of these are one on ones.
Sure,
it's fine. Like, you are in full pads, you are beating your man, but it's also not real football.
There's no, you know, safety now, bracketing.
Now here, okay, third clip, there's a full defensive backfield there. Great. All right, and he cooked on that one too. So, like, all right, fourth clip, it's a one-on-one. Fifth clip, all right, now there's a full defensive backfield. We're running a 7-8 yard hitch route. Now I'm wide open. Like, I think the quick twitch on this young man, like, the first thing that I thought, okay, now it's over. All right, great. So most of that was one-on-ones, and a couple of them were with a full defensive backfield. The first thing that I thought was a lot of those moves looked like Ryan Williams off the line of scrimmage. And then I thought, that's the cheap, easy, lazy comparison. And then you go in the comments and you see Jalen Waddle, Jalen Waddle, Jalen Waddle. And I'm like, well, that one too, it looks a lot like Jalen Waddle. And you've got a little Jerry Jeudy in the footwork. You know, with Lotsier, there was a huge concern with, he only plays 3A football in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. New Jersey, you know, low, not Georgia football, oh, not Texas football, and it's 3A. It's not 6A. It's 3A. I'm pretty sure when Booker was there, it was 5 or 6A, because he and Gino Vandermark played opposite each other in a state title game. I think 5 or 6A. Man, he looks like it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he was so incredibly impressive on his, you know, given – only ever see high school highlights, pretty much. I don't get access to unedited tape or anything from these games. But what I was able to see, the 3-4 years of highlights that he posted, like, it was very obvious that he was just a cut above other people. You know, it was not just, oh, everybody else sucks around him. It was, no, he is an incredibly dynamic athlete, and he's just better than everyone around him. I think he's going to
a little bit like Ryan was at Sarah Lynn.
Sure. Yeah, you could say that. He is going to be incredible as an, you know, underneath option, slot option, getting open in that 5 to 10 yard range.
Is Cole Adams about to lose his job?
He probably might be. But I think also he is going to be so good when the play breaks down, just finding those little gaps in the defense. Because it sounds like DeBoer is already saying, you know, a couple weeks ago that has a knack for that. Get him more and more comfortable with whatever quarterback it is going to be. Sounds like he's getting reps with all three of them anyway.
How disgusting is the slot going to be with? Because you know you're going to have a time where it's Jeremy and Isaiah playing X and Y, and it's Ryan in the Z. And then you're going to have Ryan out there and all Cole Adams. And we saw, I think Cole is a really quality player.
I think he would be a productive player when he's on the field.
Right. I don't know if he has the electricity like Ryan or
Lottier. I don't know that he'll be on the field that much. I think when he gets on the field, he'll be great. Slade Bolden was solid when he was on the field.
No, he's more athletic than
sure,
Slade.
But he'll have a similar role in the offense.
All right, fair. I just your slot options are starting to look really slotty.
Yeah, Lee. Yeah, I feel very good about this receiving core. We talked about how good we felt before this Lottier Brook tape dropped, and now I feel even better.
What do you think that conversation was like? Because it's not Jamarcus Shepherd. He's not on that call, but he's putting someone else on the call. And I'm sure that Shepherd is addressing it today. I'm sure it's been in meetings.
What are you bleeping thinking?
These coaches are trying to hide him.
We put so much effort into keeping that behind curtains.
They're like, Florida State now knows they got to get ready for you. They're like, don't you think Florida State's on the internet?
Oh, our secret is out.
And of course, it would have been Al first game anyways. But you want the secret. And there are no secrets in college football. Sure. But you want to try to. He's just excited. He's having a good spring.
Yeah, and I'm happy for him. Hey, buddy, go ahead and post some more. That's cool with me.
I'm with you. I think that the coaches, they'll be able to scheme you. They'll be able to get you. We don't need to keep it a secret. Okay. It doesn't look like we need to keep it a secret.
It's gonna be all right. If you're good enough, Lotsier, they're not gonna care if you keep posting these clips.
Right, exactly. That's my point. I think that it may not matter about secrets or not. We might be finding out all about you. Where is what I posted about Chris Lowe yesterday? I agree with this. Perfect.
This was like the most calculated take I have seen on this.
Does this tweet read like Kalen DeBoer told me to say this? My take on the Alabama football quarterback situation. This is from Chris Lowe, ESPN. And look, super credible. Mm-hmm. I've met him a couple times. Very, very nice. I want to say nothing bad about Chris Lowe. I don't even insinuate anything. My take on the Alabama football quarterback situation after being on campus. Ty Simpson, best position to be the starter, but has to go win it. Hasn't done it yet. Austin Mack is battling and has some real support among players. Keelan Russell, most talented of the three, but a freshman. Legit race.
I mean, I think throwing Keelan in there might have been a little bit. I do think that the take on Austin and Ty right there is accurate. I given just the bits of information we've kind of plucked and gotten from these scrimmages, and it does seem as if, yeah, Ty's been kind of a little bit above that race, but he's not been overly like elite or amazing. He's just kind of been slightly better. And I don't know that that has secured him the job yet, because I think that Ty Simpson's ceiling is still lower than Austin Mack's ceiling is. And I think everyone in the building knows that. So if you can unlock Austin Mack, sorry, Ty, but it's a matter of doing that. I think, right now it probably is Ty's job to lose, but I don't know that that's necessarily based on him going out and winning it himself or just the other guys not winning it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think this tweet is 100% accurate. There's a reason that I quote tweeted and said, mm-hmm. I agree with this. Nothing more, nothing less. I think this tweet is 100% accurate, but this tweet reads like straight up PR to me. It reads like I've got to give the people a little bit of nugget, which is Ty Simpson, best position to be the starter. But out of respect to the conversations I've had with the coaching staffs and knowing that they want to not run anyone off, I do think Austin Mack has had legitimately good days. Definitely. No doubt about it. He goes, but has to go win it. Hasn't done it yet. We're keeping the door open, right? Austin Mack is battling. We got to make sure that we convey that he's a real contender and has some real support among the players. This is a piece of evidence that says, hey, this thing is not cut and dry. But we don't want to run Keelan Russell off either. We need to make sure that we put some good news out about him. Keelan Russell, definitely the most talented of the three. But we don't want our fan base to push for him yet. But a freshman.
I mean, in
legit
the
race.
In the very limited stuff we've seen, is this not exactly what we've seen, though?
It is exactly what we've
seen. So, I don't think he's just doing PR. I think he's just he's calling it like it is. I don't know. I guess
my point is I think that this quarterback battle is very controlled.
I mean, sure. I guess
the perceptions and who's getting what and what's the. I'm just my man the other day saying this is Ty's day to start. This mm-hmm. is Austin's day to start.
I think that
we want to make it look like everybody. All right. I guess my question is: do you think that the two word sentence at the end, legit race, is it a legit race, or are we just placating Austin Mack and Keelan Russell?
Placating Keelan Russell.
Are we keeping those two guys happy? Hey, you're in it. You're really in it.
I think it's a legitimate race between Austin and Ty. I think we're keeping Keelan happy because we know he is the most talented of the bunch. He's just not going to be ready yet this year. Just objectively speaking, He is too small. He's just not going to be there. You know, maybe by week six or so, maybe. But I don't think he's going to be there this year. I think you're going to have to get one of those two guys for a year before Keelan takes the reins.
I think this is leading us right into a voicemail from our friend Dax. Dax called on the voicemail line just like you can at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Let's listen to his voicemail. I think he's taking us right into this conversation, Mason.
Good stuff.
What up? It's Dax again. So I was just thinking, okay, so Ty Simpson goes out this year, hypothetically, has a fantastic year, ends up going in the first round of the NFL draft. Hypothetically, I would love for it to happen. Fingers crossed. Okay, next year. What happens when Keelan Russell is the starter and Austin Mack leaves in the transfer portal? Austin Mack is too good not to start at a legitimate program, I believe. I think we have a QB conundrum on our hands unless we can somehow get another really nice QB recruit in this class. I'm just a little worried. I'd like to see what y'all's thoughts are on that. Roll Tide.
I mean, I said this ages ago. Ty Simpson not transferring out this year really messed things up for Alabama.
Yeah, I think Dax is on it because what do you do next year? What do you do next year? Like, you want some nightmare scenario? What do you do next year if Ty is just good enough to, hey, we want 10-2 college football playoff. We won the first round, got knocked out in the second round by somebody better than us, not going to the NFL draft, returning, and
Keelan Russell to Texas, Keelan Russell to Ole Miss, Russell to Georgia, wherever you want
Austin Mack to the other school. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, both of them. Your hope, Nick Sheridan, Ryan Grubb.
You boys better coach your butt.
3,800 yards. 3,800 yards.
45 touchdowns minimum.
3,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Give me 7 rushing touchdowns with another 400 on the ground.
Go ahead and throw a natty on top of that, too.
Yeah.
Heisman finalist, maybe.
And we say first-round draft pick. See you, buddy. Off to save, I guess, at that point, maybe the Dallas Cowboys.
It'll probably be the Titans again.
You're going to go quarterback back-to-back years? Still, like that's what you want.
That's what you have to have.
Nick Sheridan, Ryan Grubb.
Hey, buddy,
you got to dial it up, baby.
Lock it in.
We see what Latsia Brooks can do. He's open.
Yeah. He's open right now.
Okay. Well, 15 throw, 17 the ball, a lot, and then turn around, hand the ball off to 26, a bunch.
Yeah. No, Dax is absolutely correct. This is a quarterback conundrum.
It's a scary prospect.
And it hinges on Ty Simpson. I like Ty as a person. I've never seen never seen one thing to lead me to believe he's a bad guy whatsoever. I just think, unfortunately, him staying for this season and not choosing another school has mucked things up just a little bit.
I think this becomes a real issue down the line.
This is going to be an issue. Look,
so do you avoid the issue by
Simpson's not going to be a first round quarterback this year.
Do you avoid the issue by gaming the quarterback battle for Austin Mack's favor? And this concept is the reason why I started in the Austin Mack camp. Very point blank. Period. This whole concept is because we got to save Austin. We got to get Austin one good year and gone, and then pass this baby off to Keelan Russell. I think that is a very complicated scenario right now.
Yeah. Yep.
So again, back to the
we got to hope Ty's a first round quarterback.
So again, back to the Chris Lowe tweet. The last two words: legit race. Is that real or not?
I still think I hold my original opinion that it's a race between the top two. Okay. I just don't really know that Keelan is. I think he's being kind of propped up as like, hey, buddy, you know, you're there just to keep him around. Oh, man, though.
All right, let's read these other few Chris Lowe tweets real quick before we get to Katie Windham. She's going to be joining us in about 7-8 minutes or so right here at the Derry Daniels Studios. Chris Lowe asked Jeremy Bernard some of the names that would emerge this season. Has picked Rico Scott, Xavier Mincy, slot receiver, slot Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. Also said Jaden Roberts is healthy and has improved as much as anyone. You're going to see it pay off. Who do I want to talk about right there? Jaden Roberts, how uninjured he was last year and how much that contributed to the problems along the offensive line, not having another guard.
Yeah, sure. We can start with that one. I'll have to see it, you know. I mean, I think
because they were so coy about his injury, what he was dealing with, like it would have been more beneficial to Jaden Roberts' narrative to say he's dealing with a broken foot, playing through it. Like, just say what it is.
Sure.
He's dealing with a broken arm. Like, it wasn't those. It wasn't those. But like,
it was something.
You just say what he's dealing with, then it'd be like, well, okay, we can understand why sometimes this is happening or that's happening. And
do you think that it would be that, though, or do you think it would just be,
well, then why is he out there?
Yeah.
Fire DeBoer. It would be fired. It would be that, and it would be, he ain't got nobody better.
Yeah.
He ain't got nobody better.
there's no amount of understanding within this fan base.
You're right. Xavier Mincy is an alien.
This is one we expect.
Xavier Mincy. Yeah. Oh. The defensive backfield is full of aliens.
I saw a clip of, and you know, mind you, it was
Dijon Lee.
It was him going against a assistant coach or something, running a little like jogging route just to kind of get him to fit it up. But he was a foot and a half taller than this guy. Like, he was crazy. He is so ridiculous.
They're not real
lengthy
people.
No. He looks like a basketball player out there. Dijon Lee does. He is so much taller than just about everyone on the. He's taller than just about everyone, other than like the linemen.
Your defense, but it's going to be hard to throw on this. Like, even if they're in the wrong spots, the length is just going to be all over the place. So that's going to be fun. I agree with you on Zay Mincy. Drake Kirk, I'm going to have to see a little bit just because I don't believe in him.
He's a dog. He's going to be a dog.
I think that's going to be the lane you got to fill, Drake Kirk.
Yeah, somebody's got to replace Malachi Moore.
Okay. I'm with you there. I like that.
That attitude.
I was asked the other day on my Little Bears podcast about, you want draft Malachi the fourth, fifth round? I said, no, I'm good. I'm good on that. Deontay Lawson, next Chris Lowe tweet. Deontay Lawson out on this spring, recovering from knee surgery, returns Alabama, one of the best linebackers in the SEC. There's not much to this. He said he was gone to the NFL before tearing his ACL in the Oklahoma game. And, quote, I've tasted everything but a national championship. I wasn't done here.
Valid.
Great.
Yeah, I think, you know, we kind of knew that he maybe would have gone to the NFL had he not gotten hurt. So, again, glad for Alabama's sake that he has another year here. I think, you know, obviously, unfortunately, he got injured, but hopefully he can get it back this year.
Last Chris Lowe tweet of the morning comes from yesterday. Kalen DeBoer on the knock that he is not demonstrative enough on the sidelines. If there's anyone I'm yelling at, it's internally at myself. Maybe the week of prep is different, but on Saturdays, we're in the fight together. I learned way back not to overreact and keep the guys focused.
Different strokes for different folks, man.
Sure, but when will the Alabama fan base realize that
they won't.
He's only lighting you up in certain scenarios, mm-hmm. and he's probably not lighting you up in public. That's the other part that they're not grasping.
Yeah, I think they just got so used to Saban for so long that any other style of coaching, they're going to be like, well, that's wrong. That ain't right.
Until he wins a national championship, and then everything he does was always right.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. You never validate until you were raising the trophy. I was going to say crystal ball, but not a crystal ball.
One of the still
downgrade.
I'm still upset about it. It's been 11 years, and I'm still mad that we no longer have the crystal ball. That was the greatest trophy in all of sports. A crystal football? Are you kidding me? And now it's just this like Lombardi trophy knockoff.
That's exactly AI. AI the trophy. Give me a college football trophy and then spit that out.
Yeah, the playoff trophy sucks. It's so lame. They parade it around, put it at Walmarts and stuff. It looks terrible. Yeah, no, give me the crystal ball all day. Saban holding it up, wearing the Letterman jacket in 09, iconic, covered in red Gatorade. Oh,
I just had somebody tell me that you were wrong.
They're wrong.
That's fine. No, not on the crystal ball, but on the whole quarterback battle stuff. That, yeah, we're just trying to keep them all three to have happy.
We'll see. We will see.
I think that Saturday is going to be fun.
I do not feel great about the prospects of this team with Ty Simpson at the helm.
Oh, why not, though?
Because, I've never seen anything from him that leads me to believe he is above, slightly above average.
Okay, that's fine. I will play that lane. Let's say he's slightly above average. Let's say he's that.
Sure.
This is going to make some people upset. How is that any different than Greg McElroy? How is that any different than I like what they did for the year? How is that any different than Blake Sims? How is that any different than Jay Coker? I mean, how is it any different than Jalen?
10 years ago?
How is it any different than Jalen Hurts?
Still almost 10 years ago.
Not that long. Golly, Jalen. Oh, my God, you're right. 2018, 19, golly. So your last few quarterbacks have been NFL. How is it any different than Mac Jones, 2020? I know I'll give you that one. That'll offend some people.
That
I know.
I'll give you that one.
But Mac was like plugged into the system and just, oh my gosh, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith.
I'll give you that one.
A great offensive line. I mean, Mac did his job. Great. Sure. Good job. Well done. But his jersey was clean the entire year.
Ty's a better quarterback than Mac is. I think that at least. So I'll give you that. All those other examples, though, that was 10 years ago. College football is way different. You have to have an elite quarterback now. I'm pretty sure.
I'm with you there that college football is different, but based on last year and really 2 years ago, Michigan, what's to say a little old school can't work? A little revert.
I mean, Michigan, that quarterback was drafted in the first round of the NFL.
But he passed like four passes a game.
First round pick, though. You know, I mean, obviously some people thought he was elite. I don't know. Nobody's talking about Ty Simpson like that.
Yet.
Okay.
you let him lead Bama on a 12-0 season. He's got a first round draft pick.
Probably.
Doesn't matter. He could throw four touchdown passes the whole year. And it's like, look at his leadership.
Hey, look, let's just hope that happens then. I will believe it when I see it. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Because I've seen Ty a little bit in the time he's been here. And I've never seen anything overly impressive. Seen happy feet. I've seen a quick trigger. Seen him look uncomfortable in the pocket, abandoning clean pockets.
But we've seen four snaps of Austin Mack. Sure. And granted, I fell in love with the four snaps I did. Mm-hmm. I thought, whoa, you know. We've seen nothing from Hewlett outside of high school tape. He was fun, dunk 6A, great, big time high level. Not disparaging that at all.
I think you just have to look at upside with all of them, and I'm going to take the one with the most upside right now, and that's Austin Mack.
So 24/7 and on 3 Sports and Rivals and everybody who made Ty Simpson a 5-star, a couple years ago is just wrong?
Yes. They do that every year. He played in Tennessee.
He's state champion.
Did you watch it? You watch that high school tape?
I'm pretty sure
it was unimpressive.
Pretty sure he won the state championship in Chattanooga. They played the finals in Chattanooga right there.
Well, I've never been a Ty Simpson guy.
That's fine. I want him
to prove me wrong.
I don't think there's anything that we've seen so far or not seen so far that says they can't win with him.
Yeah, I'm not saying they can't win with him. I'm just saying I don't think they're going to be that team. You'll be, like you said, 10-2. Maybe you make the playoff. Maybe you win a game in the playoff.
Okay.
If you get a dynamic quarterback, you might be winning the whole playoff. I don't know.
10-2. All right, well, we can keep going on this track. You think that Mac and Russell aren't having a blow-up game and also going 10-2. Sure, you're probably having a couple games where Keelan Russell throws for a million yards and we're all like, but you might have a game where he also throws four interceptions because he's a freshman.
Yeah, this is fair. This is why I'm not on Keelan Russell's camp, though. I'm in the Austin Mack camp.
You think the 2 years of college practice experience keeps him from having a blow-up game?
I'm never going to be a Ty Simpson guy until I see it with my own two eyes.
Could Saturday get you there?
No.
Will Saturday do anything to you?
It won't change my opinion one bit.
Even if Mac has a horrific day? I'm just hypothetical.
I don't think so.
What if Russell has a terrible day? You're just going to say, new enrollee?
That was 2 hours in the middle of April.
Brand new enrollee?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. What if Ty has a bad day?
I would love to take my victory lap, but I will have to remain consistent and say that it does not really matter that much because it doesn't.
Yeah. But the reactions are going to go crazy on Saturday.
They're going to go crazy.
Do you think the attendance is going to be good? Not on TV. I think the attendance is going to be pretty good.
I do.
It's
good.
What's the number?
I don't know if 45? You'll get a lot of people coming in from like out of town necessarily, but I think, you know, Tuscaloosa folks, Birmingham folks, maybe, you know, not necessarily any farther outside of that, because who's going to drive more than an hour for this? But, you know, I think you get a good, I think you'll get a good showing. I don't know. Do you know how many, I mean, are they just going to let as many in as show up, I guess?
It's free. Just like any other year. You can get your, if you can get to 101, sure. I guess that's 100,000, like 577 or something like that. Yeah. Over or under? What's a good over under? 45 feels like that's my number. 45,000. That seems too high.
Yeah.
All right. Let's you think about it. I'm going to tell everybody about Warren Tire. We will bring Katie Windham into the program and get a whole lot smarter. How about that?
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad on University Boulevard. So we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then. And so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
No, that's Warren Tire, and we are so proud to have them on the program, sponsoring the program, and we are going to get a whole lot smarter by bringing our friend Katie Windham into the show. You follow Katie Windham at Katie Windham _. She has been working so hard to last week, goodness gracious, covering Alabama gymnastics and softball at the same time. And, gymnastics having a really great performance, getting into nationals. We'll hear about that just a little bit. We're really trying to focus on 8A today, and of course, Alabama softball has a huge series against the Oklahoma Sooners. We talked to Tom Canterbury just a little bit about that yesterday. We're so excited. You follow Katie Windham at Katie Windham _. She is the lead writer for BamaCentral.com, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Katie, good morning. How are you? Thank you for your time.
Good morning. I'm good. I am wondering, first of all, I love the commercial. I've been wondering, is there a Joe Gaither Show discount at Warren Tire Pros? We tell them Joe sent you, and they give us a little Bama Central employee discount.
Ooh, we need to get Russ in on that. Russ is I'm really trying to encourage – Russ Warren reached out to me to start a podcast. I was like, here's how I do it. And so hopefully if we can get his show up, we can do a little mutual kind of here, I scratch your back, you scratch our back. You know, we're driving all over the place. Y'all could have used new tires driving to Cleveland and back. Goodness gracious. You didn't have to drive to San Antonio last weekend. Unfortunate. But, yeah, we could all use some new tires. I think that could be in the works. Absolutely.
A realignment. My car might be a little bit past saving at this point, but you know, maybe the folks at Warren Tires could do something. They
absolutely can get you back on the road and keep that car alive. Katie Windham, you've been very, very busy. My first question to you is, how in the world do you stay organized? How in the world do you do it? How do you keep all the Alabama sport? Because people say, Joe, you know all the sports. And it's like, no, I don't. I know like two or three, and I have like a piece of information about the other. How do you do it?
I'm actually not a super organized person. That's probably one of my flaws. But, and it used to, you know, our boss, Chris, or I don't know if he's really done this while you've been here. I feel like he did probably at the beginning. He used to send out a daily budget email every night that laid out the next day and the next day. So that used to really help. I wouldn't really go to sleep until he sent that out most times. And he's a night owl like most of us. So, you know, it could come in at, it could come in at 5 p.m., but more than likely it was going to come in after midnight. So that used to be kind of how I knew I was on track, organized for work. Now, I mean, I look at the monthly budget, kind of scope things out, and then I have literally I'll either do like a piece of paper in my kitchen or a note on my phone of kind of the big things I have that week, really, because the problem with – like our job is the schedule is not consistent at all from week to week. Like, that's what I tell, like, I don't wake up at the same time every day. Like I know you do now that you kind of do your show every morning, but like, I do not wake up at the same time every day. Like, it depends on what I have going on. Like, you know, Tuesday we had to be at football at 8:30, even though we knew they wouldn't let us in then. but like, I don't normally like to get up that early because I stay up late. So, I'm not the most organized person, but I will keep a literal physical checklist or checklist on my phone of things that need to get done. And then I'm also one of those people that has a million tabs open on my computer at one time. Oh, so yeah. I always have the Alabama softball schedule up. It's kind of like refreshing when a season ends because I can close those tabs. Like when basketball's over, like I can close some of those. Gymnastics, I can close now, even though they're not over. But like I know that there's only one meet left, so I don't have to like keep up with, you know, what's coming up. So that's a little bit behind my disorganized organization.
I'm a fan of the tabs on the computer. I'm a big proponent of, I think, pretty sure if I went home right now and opened my computer, there'd be 15 tabs minimum.
Woo!
Like, why close it when I'm going to need it probably five times a day?
Yeah, I will be opening it in an hour. Like,
yeah.
Katie Winter, why don't we start with gymnastics? Because I was like you, thinking that we would close the book on gymnastics this weekend, but the ladies kept themselves alive. One more competition. Why don't you give us a rundown of how well they did this weekend and maybe what's next for them?
Yeah, potentially two more competitions, even though that's pretty unlikely. But, you know, I would have said that this weekend, with them being at home, I probably would have said it's still more unlikely than likely, but not being at home helped a lot. It especially helped that they got to go in Olympic order both times, meaning they started on vault and ended on floor, which is kind of the traditional college order. And getting to end on floor at home is always a big advantage because the crowd's kind of the most in it at that point. The judges can tend to score a little higher at the end. But both meets, they did what they needed to do. First meet, they just needed to beat basically Iowa and North Carolina, which are not that good of gymnastics programs, and came in second behind Cal. Did okay. Didn't do great, but did what they needed to do. And then on Sunday, they had to beat Florida and Cal, who Florida's ranked third, Cal's ranked sixth. Alabama was seeded 11th, but I think technically like ranked 12th, but got seeded 11th because of hosting. And it was going to be tough to beat Florida, who put up a 198, over 198 in the kind of in the regional semifinals. But Florida struggled a little bit on Sunday, and then Alabama put up their best score of the season.
Nice time for that.
Yeah. Good timing. And was able, and they almost won the whole thing, but ended up finishing, I think, a 10th or less than a 10th behind Florida. Cause I remember I was kind of trying to do the math, and if Gabby Gladio would have scored a 10 or 9.975 in Alabama's last routine, they actually would have beaten Florida, but she got a 9.925, I think. So it's kind of Ashley Johnson stole Murph's analogy that he used last year. Some teams need a longer runway to take off. And she'd been using that all year. And I think we saw the potential on this team all year. They could just never put it all together on the same night. And they were kind of able to do that on Sunday. Plus it helped being at home. And a lot of people, which I doubt this audience overlaps with y'all's audience, but a lot of people on the gym internet have really, you know, hated that Alabama advanced over Cal. And so they got overscored, blah, blah, blah. I mean, really unbiasedly, I don't think they did get overscored. If anything, I think there are some routines they got underscored on, maybe one or two that were a little higher than average, but there's so many that they probably got lower than they should have that I really do think on that day they were better than Cal and almost better than Florida. So I do think they deserved to advance on that day. It wasn't just because they were at home. Now it's going to be a tough test at Nationals. I think the biggest thing this year at Nationals will be they made it last year. You know, Luisa Blanco was on that team. It was her last year. They weren't expected to win a title last year. Oklahoma was kind of a machine, and then they ended up kind of falling apart in the semifinals. But Alabama, I think, had like four falls on beam last year after they hadn't had to at Nationals in Fort Worth, after they hadn't had to count a fall all season and had like by far their lowest score of the year. And obviously that's disappointing and not what you want in your last meet. So I think this year their goal would kind of be to, obviously their goal is going to be to win the national championship, which theoretically they could, I guess, if they just went balls to the wall, stuck every landing, perfect handstands all meet. But I think their goal is really to not finish in last place, probably not have a million falls like they did last year. And this team kind of showed their ability to step up in clutch moments this past weekend. So I think they can.
So anything above, you know, say a last place finish, you're coming away pretty happy then.
Yeah. I mean, and even if, but I think even if they finish an eighth scoring wise and they did like a good meet, there's not a lot of big errors. Mm-hmm. I think they'll still, obviously not be thrilled, but I think, you know, there's a lot of good teams in gymnastics and they already weren't supposed to be there. So as long as you compete well, maybe not necessarily not finish last, even though I'm sure they prefer not to finish last, but even if you're finishing last, you're eighth in the country. So, you know, that's still a successful season overall from kind of where they started. And I think this team's a good lesson for a fan base that, you know, don't ever give up on a team. There was kind of a famous started going around, you know, there's less teams overall in the sport, so it's not as hard to reach the Elite Eight as it is basketball, but it's still impressive what they were able to do, obviously. So it's kind of a, I think, lesson for fans that if you're actually a fan, maybe don't give up on your team, keep supporting them, especially if they have talent, and, you know, maybe they'll surprise you.
Before you jump in there, Mason, how many times do we need this lesson?
Can we just like also get a sticky note in the studio that says that as well as, you know, hit the button or whatever? That's what we need.
Oh my goodness. Final Four last year. How many times the softball team teaches us this lesson? Just an observation. That's all.
Katie, I want to spin us to spring football now. Me and Joe just got done having a, I don't know, what would you, 15 minute discussion or so about the quarterback battle here. The reported quarterback battle, the quarterback battle that we've all been sold a bill of goods on, supposedly, who knows? I want to just ask you, between these three quarterbacks, is this a legitimate competition between the three of them, you think, or is it a Austin Mack, Ty Simpson race, and then Keelan Russell's the odd man out? Is it a Keelan Russell, Ty Simpson race, Austin Mack, the odd man out? What combination of these quarterbacks are we kind of looking at being actually in this quarterback race?
I mean, it seems like from things I've read slash heard, it's Ty Simpson's job. Austin Mack is probably the guy on the outs, but then like they're obviously trying to do with only three scholarship guys on the roster at this point. They would like all three to stick around and not enter the portal. So I think for the spring, for as long as possible, they're going to make it seem like a race for as long as possible. So, you know, I think it's probably Ty in the lead, Keelan second, Austin on the outs, but really when, I mean, there are just three guys. You're two snaps away from being the starter. You're two, you know, injuries from getting up there. So I think it's going to continue to be. I don't think we're going to see anything staggering news breaking on Saturday, but I think they're going to try and keep three guys in the competition as long as possible, which makes sense. And I'm sure, honestly, all three guys are being compensated 10 times what any of us make for their troubles.
I want to lay out one scenario that we also kind of discussed, and we, neither Joe or I are a big fan of this potential scenario that we could see ahead of us here. And I want to just get your opinion on it. If it were to happen, now this again is all hypothetical. This is, you know, months from now, a year from now.
It's a talk show. All we do is hypothetical.
If we are looking at a season in which Ty Simpson leads the Crimson Tide to, what did we say, 10-2 season, maybe one win in the college football playoff. You're getting bounced in the second round. Not many NFL prospects, not going to be a first-round pick, wants to come back for another year. You are then stuck with a logjam in the quarterback room of Ty Simpson, a now Austin Mack, who is potentially still on campus at this point. Who knows, even, honestly. And then Keelan Russell, the, you know, the prize pick of everything. How bad is this scenario for Alabama if it presents itself?
I think if that happens, it's not great, but I think it's like unlikely, because I think either Ty will be good enough to go. He'll either be good enough to go on to the NFL, or he'll be so good that, like, cause you know, now there's the scenario, obviously, that sometimes you can make more in college or more guaranteed in college to go into the NFL. That he's so good that Alabama would want him to come back and fans would be happy to pay him the money to come back. Or he wouldn't have been good enough that he'll enter the portal, or he'll move on to the next stage. And then if Keelan Russell's really what everyone says he is, then he'll have the chance to be the guy next year. But, I mean, some guys, like, you know, just – and it's hard in this age, but some guys just have to wait their turn. Like, I mean, even really good guys like Tua or Bryce. I mean, Bryce, when that – I mean, I wasn't covering the team then, but that spring with him and Mac, everybody, oh, Bryce is, you know – second, and Bryce is one of the ended up being one of the greatest you know, players in Alabama football history, one of the most talented, and he still sat behind Mac Jones for a year, and Mac Jones almost won a Heisman, and Bryce eventually did win a Heisman. So I think it's a good thing to have like an embarrassment of riches. And I think, you know, if Ty did come back, Keelan might not want to stay, wait another year, but I think obviously Austin Mack would definitely leave. And then you just go get another guy from the portal quarterback, or you go get another high schooler, which I don't know. Maybe you would know. I think I'm frozen.
You're here.
I mean, maybe I don't know if there's any quarterbacks in the next signing class. I'm not.
What's the kid from Tennessee who's like 6'6" and monster?
I don't think he's coming to Alabama.
He's gonna get.
He's going to Oregon.
He's gonna get a big old bag to go to Oregon.
Yeah, I think he's going to Oregon. Derek Zammit, I believe is his name, is going to be in town this weekend. I know 2026 quarterback. I don't remember where he's from right now off the top of my head, but okay. He's a 4-star. Yeah. That scenario scares me, to put it lightly.
We're hanging out with Katie Windham right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You guys follow her at @KatieWindham_. She's the lead writer for all things Alabama, for Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, covering football, basketball, men's and women's basketball, softball, really everything. Katie, it's the last scrimmage today for Alabama football. We're going to head over there in just a little bit, talk to us a few players, but there will be no more scrimmaging. What's going to be the narrative out of the scrimmage today? The first scrimmage felt like Isaiah Horton, everybody all getting all above Isaiah Horton. I guess last week's scrimmage was all the inside linebackers getting some love, the young inside linebackers kind of standing out. I'm here. Mason and I spent 15 minutes really, really getting excited about Latsia Brooks getting open on the line of scrimmage this morning. What do you think we're going to hear? Obviously, it's going to be how do the quarterbacks do. But if it's not the quarterbacks, who might be the player or players that you think might get talked about today?
Well, I think because we're doing player availability after instead of coach, I think in the immediate aftermath, we're probably not going to get anything great, because – if you ask the players about any other player, oh, he's great.
He's great. Or
if you ask them about, I'm working on stepping in as a vocal leader. So maybe that's what we should ask today. How's your vocal leadership today? But yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously people's nuggets and stuff will come out later. Even though today's scrimmage is like just going to be at the facility. So I don't know how many guests they're allowing. I mean, I'm assuming the players' families will be allowed, but then it's also like on a Thursday morning, so I don't know how many player families are going to be able to attend at this time. So I don't know how much is really actually going to end up coming out from this scrimmage, but so I think this is going to be kind of an interesting spring scrimmage, especially with A-Day on Saturday and the fact that, you know, it's on a Thursday morning in the facility, and I don't know if we're really – and we're talking to players after instead of coaches. So I really don't think – I think this is going to be a very limited info scrimmage. I've just been informed by my informant that families aren't even allowed at today's scrimmage. So
unfortunately.
There really might be like – so there's probably going to be very little that comes out of this.
So all of our questions, how many catches did you have, whoever it is, you know, Jeremy Bernard, how many catches did you have from who threw the ball? Just try to just nail down their stats. Running back, hey, how many carries did you get? How many yards did you we'll find out in just a little bit. I want to play a game before we wrap up with A-Day, because all three of us will be in Bryant-Denny Stadium. You can follow Katie Windham at @KatieWindham_, Mason Woods, @MAWoods_, and myself @JoeGaither6 on Saturday. So we'll be in the stadium watching the festivities. And Katie, my hypothesis has been that we will see more football on Saturday than we would have in a traditional A-Day. So because of that, I want to play a game. I want to play three players that we're all watching. I want to play a game, and we'll all go around 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So we'll have 9 players. Katie, do you want to go ladies first, or do you want to go with respect? We'll give you more time to think and go last. I'll let you choose, and then we'll play. We'll go in a little circle. Three players that we're really keeping our eye on at A-Day that, you know, maybe they're a superstar, maybe they're an early enrollee freshman, maybe they're just your friend. What three players are you going to be keeping an eye on? Katie, you want to go first or last?
I'll go first.
Perfect. Number one player that Katie Windham is going to be keeping her eye on at A-Day is?
I don't know if this is necessarily like number one is the most important, but just a guy I'm intrigued to watch practice is Dejon Leach. It's just, he's a name that's been getting a lot of hype. I feel like kind of how, you know, how does he look when we can actually see him for more than 10 minutes?
I love that pick. Mm-hmm. I too am very excited to see Dejon Lee. I'm going to stick with the freshman trend. I'm going to take AK Deer.
Mm.
That is a running back that I have been very, very excited about since, you know, back when he was a recruit. Even I'm extremely excited to see what he can do when he gets on the field here. You know, obviously I'm sure it will be not a ton we see from him, but the little bit we get, I'm excited to see it.
All right, I'll keep it on the freshman train. Like Katie, I'm not sure if this is my number one player, but I'm going to pick Luke Metz. But one, because he was on the show, but two, I think the inside linebacker room is very interesting without the veterans' presence right now. Obviously, they will get there. So you're going to get Duke Johnson, you're going to get Luke Metz, and you're going to get Abdul Sanders. A lot of the buzz has been about Sanders so far, but I think all three players are going to get opportunities on Saturday. And so I'm excited to see what Luke Metz does. Underrated recruit out of Georgia. Miss Katie Windham, number two player that you're keeping your eye on.
I feel like this is another kind of obvious with the hype that's been around him this spring. You already mentioned him, Joe, but lots of your Brooks, I feel like, at the White, because he kind of stood out to me at practice yesterday, him and Isaiah Horton with Ryan. Who knows if Ryan will play on Saturday? I'm guessing probably not. They'll obviously have him out there to sign autographs, as he's probably, you know, the top guy that people want to get. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see this kid. He's obviously drawing a lot of comparisons early on, and I think he'll probably get early playing time. So interested to see him in person make some plays.
I'm going to go with Jalen Mbakwe.
Wide receiver Jalen Mbakwe.
Yeah, that's what I want to see, wide receiver Jalen Mbakwe in action. See him rocking that new number. Now was he switched to – what did he switch to? I know I saw it. Switched to three now. So we'd be interested to see him rocking that number three jersey.
Jalen Mbakwe for you. She goes lots of Brooks. Do we just keep it another wide receiver? And I'll say Isaiah Horton, because I am very curious to see how he looks. I think – we've talked about it on the show a bunch of times. I think if you have three legitimate wide receivers, that changes the dynamic of the room. You haven't had three legitimate wide receivers in a minute. Yeah, I think I'm going to go number. No, I think I'll go Isaiah Horton for my number two pick. Okay, all right. We're on a little bit of a roll here. We're on a little rhythm here. I like our pick so far. Miss Katie Windham, number three player you're keeping your eye on this weekend at A-Day.
I was going to say Gino, just to see where they have him on the offensive line, but then he was on the bench yesterday, so I don't know. I mean, not on the bench, on the bike yesterday at practice. So I'll go with Wilkin to see, you know, with Caden out this spring, to kind of the offensive line as a whole, to kind of just see what it looks like at this point in the spring and kind of where it's going to end up being in the fall.
I love that pick.
I'll go to the defense. Cam Calhoun.
Oh,
Cam Calhoun, transfer from Utah. I think, you know, we talked about him earlier this week a little bit. What he did at Utah, I thought was pretty good. I'm excited to see him maybe get a little opportunities here. You know, we've talked about how good this secondary is going to be just as a whole. I don't know, you know, his opportunities may be a little limited just because of the amount of talent in that room, but what he gets, I'm excited to see.
All right. I already said his name, but I'm going with Xavier Mensy. I think that you've got a safety room that might be, I know, don't do it, Joe. I think you have a really talented safety room in Bray Hubbard, Keon Sab, and Xavier Mensy. And I think Zay Mensy looks just like a cyborg out there. And I would love, I want to see it. You know, Katie goes Dejon Lee with her first. Imagine a defensive backfield with Dejon Lee playing corner and Zay Mincy playing. You got, everybody's like 6'12" out there. You cannot throw on anyone. So yeah, Zay Mincy is kind of my pick right there. I'm interested to see what he looks like playing full-time safety. And he made that move middle of the year last year. I think that's going to be a fun player.
I do have one honorable mention.
Yeah, go for it.
Katie made me think of offensive line, but I had to take Cam Calhoun because I'm too excited, but Jackson Lloyd.
Yes.
Yeah, Jackson Lloyd. I got to see where they throw the future greatest left tackle in the history of Alabama Crimson Tide football at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty talented. Katie, you have any honorable mentions since Mason can't make his mind up?
I'd say kicker, maybe just
because
I've heard some interesting things coming out of the spring. So can, because I mean, sure, that's something that, you know, that's
we didn't
not super
kick a single field goal last year.
What?
Alabama kicked like no field goals last year.
Yeah.
Part of that was on the offense, and part of that's, I guess, range, but you barely saw your investment.
Yeah, so I guess Connor Talty or whoever's, you know, else is in the kicking competition. Kind of what how that looks, if they can make some kicks, if they can make some longer kicks. Because, yeah, Alabama did not have a lot last year after having basically an automatic guy for 5 years, which Alabama fans weren't used to, but then got used to it. And so will they kind of get back in that area this year?
The kick your anxiety. I don't want to watch the screen. Oh, you know, I did not watch the double doink live. I had my back to it. I had my back to it.
And that's probably for the best.
Then my ex-wife, I heard her. And I knew what happened. So, yeah, kicker anxiety is real. And we'll see what we do. Will Riker was in the facility the other day, and it was just like a cannon. Boom, boom, boom. And so, obviously, working out, getting ready for the next year with the Vikings right there. Katie, I don't want to leave any stories off the table. We haven't talked any Masters at all this today. I know today is opening round. Are you into the Masters? Are you going to be paying attention this weekend? I'm not even going to talk odds because we'll sound stupid or anything like that. Obviously, I will be watching for JT, but I'm not going to talk odds. Will you watch the Masters? Are you into it?
Yeah, I'll watch some of it this weekend. I got to go 2 years ago, and it was really cool. I would, you know, my sister won the lottery that year. Hopefully, I'll win one day. Would love to go back. So, yeah, I'll keep up with it, you know, with everything else going on this weekend. I don't know how much time I'll have to sit down and watch, but probably because I can't remember actually what time softball is on Sunday.
Five, I think, is what I read. 3, 5, and 6 is what I remember saying with Tom.
Yeah, actually, that's right. Sunday's 5. So they'll probably be starting around the time, close to the time the Masters is ending. So that's normally, you know, the best part to watch is Sunday. As a kid, like, I mean, my dad liked to watch golf, but like not like avidly, but we, you know, the Masters would normally be on every year. We'd be tuned in watching that. So, and then once you go, it's just like, I feel like you have this more of a connection and want to watch it. So
we didn't even talk to you about softball. Oh my goodness. And huge series. Number 2, Oklahoma coming into town. We talked about it a little bit with Tom yesterday. What'd you make of the LSU series, and really, how are you feeling going into such a massive, moment on the year?
Yeah, I didn't really, with gymnastics, get to watch much of LSU, and then the time change on Saturday. I mean, it's kind of been like the pattern for this team, you know. Well, I guess it was a little different because this was the first time I think they were down 0-2 in a series and then rallied that last day to win. But kind of talking to Murph yesterday to kind of recap last weekend and into this weekend, he said, you know, we have to be the aggressor on Friday, or technically Saturday this weekend. We can't let a pitcher steamroll us in the first game, he was saying. He was like, we can't, you know, have a bunch of free passes and errors in the first inning, let the other team get on the board. He said, we want to be the aggressors in the first game. They've lost the first game of every SEC series. Like, I think, obviously, if you can win the first game this weekend, that would be huge for so many reasons, because then you already know you're not getting swept. You have the momentum for the rest of the weekend. The crowd's probably going to continue to get bigger if you win. If you get killed, if you get run rolled on Saturday, which they've done twice in first game of SEC series against LSU and Mississippi State, I think less people are going to show up on Sunday and Monday because – I just thought that, which, like, I mean, obviously, like, kind of going back to the gymnastics fandom thing, you know, don't give up on a team because they've gotten run ruled twice this year and then come back to beat that same team. So they can. I think the good news is this Oklahoma team is beatable. I think the good news is Alabama does not get swept. I think that's really going to get put to the test this week, but they haven't gotten swept since 2013, which is actually a very incredible stat that, you know, there either just hasn't been a bad weekend. I mean, there have been some bad weekends lately, but that somehow they've managed to salvage at least a game every time. But that's not the goal this weekend. It's not just to salvage a game. They want to win the series at home. You know, they've only won, you know, 2 home series total over the last 2 seasons, and this would be a great time to get a third. It's going to be a tough task, but I think the biggest key, and I'd be interested to hear what Tom said on the show yesterday. I listened to their podcast yesterday morning, but and I think he said this on their show, like one of the biggest players, because they did like midseason awards like the biggest key moving forward is Jocelyn Brisky, because she has showed at times in her career, mostly last year, she can be an ace. She has the talent. It's like this year there's just some sort of mental block or something that she either cannot start games well and has all these free passes, or Alabama gets up big, they bring her in to close it out, and she can't close out a game well. But she has the talent, she has the ability, and obviously this week we're going to be facing a stacked Oklahoma lineup. But if she can get back into ace form, if she can give Alabama two good starts, I think they said during the first LSU game, which she started, I think, whatever game she started against LSU that I was watching, maybe it was the Saturday game, like Alabama had lost like her last six starts or something. Or maybe it was five, and they ended up losing that day. And it's like, that's obviously not what you want from your ace. So I think if you can get some good starts out of her this weekend, or Caitlin Riley, whoever starts, I think you're going to need Audrey Vandegrift on base a lot. She had a clutch home run in game three against LSU, but I think that was her only hit on the weekend. So you're going to need a little more from her, some other people to step up and have home runs, and then kind of maybe get a little Rhodes magic like last time these two teams played it, Rhodes in 2015 with the Marissa Runyon grand slam that sent Alabama back to Oklahoma City. So it should be a fun time at Rhodes this weekend.
3 o'clock on Saturday, just after the 8A festivities, 5 o'clock on Sunday, and 6 o'clock on Monday night. Alabama takes on Oklahoma right in our own backyard at the Rhodes House over there. But if you can't get over there, make sure you follow Katie Windham _ on the Twitter machine. She's going to be covering everything, or read about it on BamaCentral.com. They'll have all the coverage right there on the website. Katie, I'll see you in just a little bit over at the football facility. We'll hear how great everybody did today. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Katie Windham joining us, making us much smarter. Mason Wood, you into the Masters. Let's wrap this up with a little Masters talk. Let's actually, hold on. I need to pay a bill or two, but and then we'll close it down. That was Katie Windham joining us. We appreciate her joining us the last two Thursdays in a row. We're going to try to keep it up as a Thursday tradition if her schedule allows. She's a very, very busy woman, so, you know, we'll get her when we can. But the show is proudly sponsored by Warren Tire and Auto, and it has been sponsored for Warren Tire and Auto for the last 2 months. We want to keep that going. They've been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership. Warren Tire and Auto is the go-to place for all your automotive needs. They have two great locations to get you in and out and back on the road. For tires, brakes, and alignment, you can see them on 15th Street at 205-759-5505. And then for all your other automotive needs, you got front end work, oil changes, electrical issues, you can see them on University Boulevard at 205-758-2739. We appreciate Russ Warren and Warren Tire Auto sponsoring the program. Go see them today for all your automotive needs. The Masters has already started, right? We're at 9:15 right here, local time. I think that the Masters started about 6:15 this morning. Masters leaderboard. I think we are live right now. Are you into the Masters, Mason? I know that, you know, we're not going out there playing golf every weekend, but will you have it on your television rotation this weekend?
It'll probably find its way there Sunday. I'll probably watch the last round. Maybe watch a little bit before the cut tomorrow. Who knows? Or I guess Saturday. You know, Masters is cool and all, golf is cool. I've never been a huge golf guy. I liked watching Tiger Woods when he was at his peak throughout my childhood, just because it was like unbelievable to me that the one guy could be this good at one thing. You know, there's not really anybody like that for me, at least that I'm aware of on the tour right now, so it's not as entertaining.
I will say Tuscaloosa native Patton Kizzire is on the course right now. Where do I have him at? I just scrolled right past him. Goodness gracious. He's on the course, and he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that over? Is that how you're scoring this? That's got to be, right? Oh, that's not a good number, right? I think he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't know how to read this. Hold on. Let me click on his thing because their leaderboard is a little funky. All right. He bogeyed one. As you can hear that, he bogeyed one, he birdied four, so he's even. Bogeyed five, minus one, minus two, bogeyed six. He doubled eight, so he's minus four, or so he's plus four, he's plus four. He birdied nine, so he got one back, he's plus three. He bogeyed 10, so he's plus four. He's four over right now on the round through 10 holes. And we don't mind that because I'm pretty sure he went to Auburn. from Tuscaloosa, right. Went to Auburn. I'm pretty sure. Let me double check that before
at
I
Camp College.
Before I spread fake news. Let me see, Patton Kazire. I'm pretty sure he went to Auburn, or maybe it was a Sanford guy. No, Auburn. Yep, Northridge High School, Auburn Tigers. Come on, man. Jaguars. Oh. What are we doing here, Alabama? We got to secure the backyard talent.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'll watch probably the final round some to see who went. You know, I do always love the pageantry and everything around the Masters is amazing. And I you know, even if I'm not a huge golf fan, like I can appreciate that and I love that aspect of it. So, you know, seeing the guy with in his last round, you know, when it's down to the wire, he takes that final putt, you know, and then he goes and gets his green jacket. Like, I love all that stuff. So I will definitely be watching that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend for sports. I think that we're in the middle of the best part of the calendar. We need to save this for tomorrow because we've exhausted all of our listeners' time for the moment. But you had Final Four last weekend, Masters this weekend, WrestleMania next weekend, 10 days away. Today is 10 days away from WrestleMania. Yeah. And then the NFL draft after that. And so you're right there. And MLB, you know, for the baseball heads, it started last month. And so we're heating that bad boy up. NBA playoffs is about to get, you know, into the NFL, NBA.
I pushed back a little bit when you had pitched this to me the first time we talked about it off air.
I think it stacks. Like, and football's great, but like you stack. Yeah,
you might be convincing me otherwise, you know, because the draft I do get a taste of football at this time of year, so it's okay. I might be convinced. We'll have to get into it though.
All right, we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll get out of here for the day. We're going to the Malmore facility to talk to the football team. Everybody did great today in the scrimmage. That's what you're gonna hear. We had a lot of fun on the Joe Gaither Show. Thanks to Warren Tyron Auto for sponsoring the program. Thanks to Derek Daniel and State Farm for sponsoring the program. Thanks to you for listening and sharing the show to all your friends. We'll talk to you on Friday right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.